Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Lord be with you. And let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of grace you've blessed us with, and we're all on retreat, we're all on mission, and we all want that deeper walk with Jesus. And part of a deeper walk with you is reconciliation, part of a deeper walk with you is change. And we pray for the grace to look deep within, to see any barriers or any issues or any sins that might be there so that we can turn away from them and give our hearts to you fully. And you call us to a depth relationship with you, and we want to abandon ourselves completely. So I pray that your healing grace will be in this place tonight, and that all of us will have the courage to confront our issues and to look where we need to change. So I ask God's blessing upon you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to warm you up. You ready for this? I hope you like these jokes tonight. So have a seat. I noticed that just about everywhere I go, there's squirrels. You know, it seems like they're taking over the cities. And, you know, this time of year, they're gathering nuts, and they're kind of bringing them up the trees and getting ready for the winter and different things. Well, I heard a story about these three churches that were in a country. There was the Methodist Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Catholic Church, and they were all overrun with these pesky squirrels. And they were trying to figure out what to do. So the Methodists had a meeting about them, you know, how to get rid of these squirrels. And, you know, one of their doctrines is predestination. And they decided that God had predestined these squirrels to be there, and they better not go against his will, and they better just leave them alone. So that was their solution. Then the Lutherans, you know, and they have such a great love for creation, they got together and they thought about the squirrels, and they didn't want to hurt them or damage them or kill them. So what they did is they trapped them. They brought them out about a mile into the forest. They let them go. A couple days later, the squirrels were back. So that wasn't a very good solution. The Catholics came up with the best solution. They decided with these squirrels, they decided to baptize them, to enter them into the church roll, you know, and enroll them in the church. Now, they only see them on Christmas and Easter. Yeah. So I heard about this one preacher. He was up there and he was trying to convince his people about the sin of gluttony, and about eating and drinking and smoking and how bad that can be for you. So, you know, he decided during Mass to have this visual demonstration. Now, I don't know if Father Simon used to do that or Father Tim or Larry does that, but anyway, what he did is he got these jars, one of alcohol, one of chocolate, and one of cigarette smoke. And he got these three worms. And he took the first worm and he put him into the jar of alcohol, and right before everybody's eyes, the worm died. And then he took the second worm and he put him in a jar of chocolate, you know, right before everybody's eyes, the worm died. And then he unscrewed the top and he put it in the cigarette smoke, and right before everybody's eyes, the worm died. He says, "Do you know what this means?" And a woman raised her hand. She said, "Yeah, Father, if you eat and you drink and you smoke, you won't have worms." You didn't expect that, did you? Come on. Can you hear me in the back okay? Good. Some people said they couldn't hear me. When I go like that, you can really hear me. Let's see. What are some other stories? We're going to offer reconciliation tonight, or confession, to any of you that want to go. So let me tell a couple of those. I heard one about, a priest. And he was at the celebration for the mayor's 20th anniversary. But of all things, you know, they're having this big banquet. Of all things, the mayor was absent. He was late. He was, you know, having to deal with some things. So the priest got up, and he figured he'd entertain the people for a little while and talk to them while the mayor could come. So he's up there and he said, you know, folks, I got to be honest with you. When I first came to town, I had a bad impression. You see, the first confession I ever had, the person came in there and confessed that they were an adulterer, that they had abused their children, and that they embezzled from their job. But ever since that, you know, I got to meet you and everything. You all have been so nice, and you've welcomed me into the town, and I had the wrong impression at the beginning. Well, right at that moment, the mayor just happened to came in. He came in late, and he comes up, and, you know, the priest lets him take over with the lectern and everything, and he goes, whew, he says, folks, I'm sorry I'm late, and thanks to Father for filling in for me while I'm gone. You know, I really love Father. You know, he's been so good to this town. In fact, I had the privilege of being the first one to go to confession to him. Ouch. So watch out. No, actually, none of that's going to happen tonight. What else do I have? Okay, this, you know what the RCIA program is. That's the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. Now, these are people that are joining the church. Many, many are adults, Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. So this new Catholic just coming in through the RCIA decides to go to confession. Never been to confession before. Didn't know all the terminology and all that. So he goes to the priest and he sits down and he goes, Father, he said, bless me for I have sinned. He said, I've stolen some wood. And the priest says, well, how much wood did you steal? He goes, enough to make a doghouse. The priest said, ah, that's not too bad. Don't worry about that. He said, no, Father, there's more. He said, what more? He goes, I stole enough wood to build a 2-car garage. He says, wow, that's a little more serious. He says, no, wait, Father, there's more. He goes, what more? He goes, I stole enough wood to build a 4-bedroom house. He goes, that's a lot more serious. He goes, you're going to have to make a novena. He goes, I don't know what a novena is, Father, but if you got the plans, I've got the lumber. Oh, so anyway, I hope whether you've, whether you've stolen wood or not, or whatever you've done, I hope tonight, by the grace of God, if God moves you, you'll go to confession. And, you know, we are taping these talks, and by the grace of God, those of you who are listening by tape, if the Lord moves in your heart as you're hearing this CD, I pray that you will go to confession at your first opportunity. And if today you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. This reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself in his Son and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting our trespasses against us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God, as it were, appealing through us. I implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let me talk to you a little bit about reconciliation. And I believe if you listen, this can be a life-changing night for you. And do you folks want to move down into that pew there? You're happy there? Okay. If you want to move, that's a hard chair for you. Okay. You're happy. All right. Do whatever you want. I saw this one portrait done by Rembrandt. You know, Rembrandt loves to paint gospel scenes. Rembrandt, the great painter. And it's a portrait of the prodigal son returning to his father. In fact, it was at the last church I was at in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And if you look really closely at the portrait, you'll see the father welcoming the son back home, the sinning son. And if you look really closely, what you'll see is the hands. And the interesting thing about the hands of the father, they're both different. The left hand is very masculine, very strong, very large. But the right hand is much smaller. And it's very feminine and very soft. And what Rembrandt, at least according to Henri Nouwen, what Rembrandt was trying to do in this portrait was to portray God not only as father, but as mother, as the stereotypic masculine qualities that God has as creator, protector, generous, strong, but also stereotypically the feminine characteristics of a mother, caring, and compassionate, loving, and gentle. And I want to tell you as I begin, first of all, that God has his arms wide open to all of us. He's very merciful, very providential, as I was saying last night. We can certainly trust in him. But God also is very tender and very compassionate, very kind, very merciful to us. And he always welcomes us back. Even when we presume his mercy and sin against him, even when we know we should do better, even when we know that he's displeased with our sinfulness, he still, his love is so great for us that he still welcomes us back. Now, I know that I'm not talking to the worst sinners in Grass Valley. You're probably some of the best people here and in the surrounding areas. But, you know, as a Catholic priest, I've been in the confessional and I hear what goes on. And I know that, you know, some of you, this is a great night. You know, this is a wonderful night of, you've just been looking for an opportunity to really make a new beginning. And all this weekend, I talked about a closer walk with thee, you know, and making a change. And I asked you, I said, where are you going? Are you stuck? Are you going forward? Now, we'll talk about that a little later. Then I asked you, where do you need to change? Is it in your moral life? Is it your thought life? You know, different emotions? So we'll talk about some of that as I go on here. So I really believe that a retreat or a mission ought to be a time that we change and that we grow and that we go and that we move forward. So on God's part, what we have is a Father who's welcoming us. You know, God's there with open arms, and God is Father and God is Mother. You know, I hope that doesn't scandalize anybody, but what I'm saying is that God has both characteristics. You can't categorize. God isn't male or female. He's beyond that. God is spirit, Jesus said. And I remember when I was over in Jerusalem, you know, I studied over there, and I remember I used to walk down the streets, and every once in a while you'd see a man with his son. And I remember this one time the son was grabbing at his dad's coattail saying, Abba, Abba, and pointing at the store. And you know, that's a word familiar to us. That's an Aramaic word, Abba. Jesus used it. It's a word for papa or daddy. And Jesus used to use that of God, and we do too, because we've been taught that, you know, to say father or Abba, daddy. And when Jesus used that, I don't think he was so much telling us that God was male or, you know, masculine so much, because God's beyond that. I hope you can understand that. But what Jesus was using was a term of endearment. Remember that movie out years ago, Terms of Endearment? Well, that's what Abba is. It's a term of endearment. It's a word of intimacy. That's how Jesus related to God. He didn't just say God. He said Abba. And now it says that because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit, we can cry out Abba. We can cry out, Daddy. And Jesus said, my Father is your Father. And so we have the same Father. And it's interesting, you know, Jesus related to God as Father, but more than that, he related to God intimately. He had that beautiful saying. And I remember, you know, I told you last night that my dad died 5 years ago, and it crushed me because he was my best friend and my biggest supporter. And I remember that he gave me such a good image of what a father is. Now, maybe some of you didn't have a great image of a father, but you can get beyond that. And perhaps that's where you need healing. That God, your Father, will bring you a new image of what a true father is like. Because, you know, the statistics bear it out. Some of you have been abused, and others of you have had divorce in your family and dysfunctional families, you know, and it's been hard. But my dad, I mean, I don't want to canonize him or anything, but I love to talk about him because he was such an influence on my life. And my dad, of course, you know, he supported me, and he was really my best friend. And I had friends, but I never felt like I could tell anybody like I could tell my dad, because I could trust him, and he loved me. And I remember, for example, you know, he worked hard as a carpenter, but he would come home, and no matter how tired he was, I'd want to go out and play ball. You know, I'd want to play baseball. I loved to play baseball. He'd put on the glove, and I'd throw that thing as hard as I could, you know, just to show him how hard I could throw it. He'd be catching, you know, and it would be hurting his hand. But he'd just hang in there, you know, and he's all hot and sweaty from work and everything. Didn't seem to mind. You see, he was interested in what I was interested in. And I remember I went and I played golf. You know, I took up golf in my teenage years, about 10 years ago. And I remember my dad, you know, he didn't have any inkling about golf. You know, he wasn't big on golf or anything. One day I came home from school, and in our breezeway were all these new golf clubs all lined up, you know, from pitching wedge all the way up to driver. I said, what is this? It's not even my birthday. See, he was interested in what I was interested in. Then, in college, I get religion. You know, I mean, Jesus touches me in a beautiful way. If you've read my book on death, you've read about my conversion and what happened to me and when I had those near-death experiences, totally changed my life. Well, I have this conversion, and now, like, I'm on fire for Jesus, and now he starts going to church with my mom more than they ever went. You know, they were Catholic, but they were kind of like the squirrels, you know, that go on Christmas and Easter, and I was too. Well, you know, so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, he supported me, he was interested in me, he was for me, he loved me, he had dreams for me. He never tried to make me become a carpenter. He wanted for me what I wanted in my life. I worked with him, but I didn't have that ability with my hands like he did. I was more in terms of sports and school and different things like that. So what I'm trying to say is that Dad was a wonderful influence on my life. And the whole reason I'm talking about all this is because when we sin, and I want you to get the context of this, I've talked about Father now, a welcoming Father who's more than a father, a Father that's supportive, that cares for us, that's interested in us. That's exactly who God is. But when we sin, what we're doing is we don't sin in isolation. What we're doing is we're rupturing our relationship with our Father. Sin isn't just something between you and yourself or you and the community. It's a rupturing of a relationship. I go like this. It's almost like a ripping, a division. And that's why we call this sacrament the sacrament of reconciliation. It's also called the sacrament of confession. That's one of the things that we do. But what we're after in this sacrament is a new oneness with God, a reestablishment of our relationship with God. Because sometimes we can be, it says in the Bible, your sins have made a separation from me, says the Lord. God isn't the one separating us from God. We do it, okay? And I don't want you to think that all the time we should be feeling God and jumping up and down. But through sin, what we do is we divide, and reconciliation brings us back to the one who loves us and to the one whom our hearts love the most, and that's our Father in heaven. I remember I read a book in reconciliation class. You know, as a priest, you got to study these things. It's the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. And the name of the book was called, this is the book that we read for confession, To Walk Together Again. To Walk Together Again. I love that title. This whole retreat has been about just a closer walk with thee. And one of the ways, if you want to walk in a closer way with God, you have to address this issue of change and the issues that we all have and the sins that we all have. And we've got to look at that because, you know, we really want to be one with God and we can rupture that relationship with God. So I want to invite you to consider that God is calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. And what is there in your life that needs to change? You know, there's the traditional seven deadlies that we've all heard about, you know, pride and sloth, that's laziness, anger, lust, gluttony, envy. There's one other one, I don't know what it is right now, but what is it?
Covetousness.
Yeah, covetousness, I think that's it, yeah. But anyway, you know, all those different issues we need to look at, and I'll look at some of them in a minute, but, you know, they can divide us and pull us away from God. Reconciliation is the time that we come, and this is key, and we're saying, you know what? I want to change. I don't know how to change. I haven't changed in the past, it doesn't seem like, but I want to come to you, my Heavenly Father, through the blood of Jesus, and I'm sorry. That's why in the sheet I gave you in a little while, we'll pray and just simply say, I'm sorry. That's called contrition. That's one of the prerequisites for reconciliation. We have to say that we're sorry. And I want to tell you something about change. A lot of times people go to confession and say, you know, I don't feel any different. I don't feel like I've changed. Well, here's what the Lord told me about that. You can change in leaps and bounds sometimes. But most of the time, change doesn't happen. This is the phrase that God gave me. Change doesn't happen immediately, but it happens eventually. And you have to be patient. Remember what I said this Sunday? God isn't calling us to perfection. He's calling us to progression, to moving forward, to going, to growing. And sometimes it happens little by little. You got to be patient with yourself and say, you know, why aren't I all different all of a sudden? You know, and I went on this wonderful mission with Father Cedric and I should be floating and don't feel like I've changed. Well, give yourself a break. You know, cut yourself some slack. You know, be merciful to yourself. You'll change if you stay in the program, if you keep coming. You let the healing power of God keep saturating your life. So that's one thing about change, and I'll talk more about that. But there's a couple more things I just want to tell you about reconciliation. We, in class, we actually talked about this whole thing of confession. And we sat around and we said, why aren't people going to confession anymore? And why aren't they going as frequently as they used to go? Maybe you've thought that. It seems like, you know, why should I go? Nobody goes anymore. Well, people do go, but they don't go like they used to. Let's be honest. And we decided, here's what we came up with. After reading, studying, looking, listening, talking to people, here's what we found out. People are going to confession. They are. And you know where they're going? Not necessarily in the confessional. They're going to the bartender. They're going to their hairdresser. They're going to the neighbor at the fence. And they're going to their sponsor in the 12-step program. But they're going. You see, there's a natural desire that we all have for catharsis. That's a psychological term that means you want to get it off your chest. we want to get that burden out. We want to tell somebody. And that's why in the letter to James it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. So that's one of the steps in healing, is that you confess, that you share, that you tell somebody what's going on in there. And, you know, we want to try to make the confessional or the reconciliation room, we call it now, because that's what it is. We want to make it a place of forgiveness for you. See, you can confess to your neighbor at the fence or to your bartender or to your hairdresser or to your sponsor. That's one aspect of confession, you know, the actual confessing. But that doesn't include the two other elements that you need, which is healing and forgiveness. Confession's one part of it. But the sacrament of reconciliation is all about confessing. There's three elements: confessing, healing, and forgiveness. And that's what we mediate to you. Priest doesn't forgive you. We mediate the wonderful grace of God to you. It's not I that forgives you. We absolve you in the blood of Christ, who died for you on the cross. That's the beautiful thing. So really, confession is all about these things. It's all about confessing your sin, being sorrowful, wanting to change, wanting to be healed, and wanting to be forgiven. And I guarantee you, just like that image I gave you to begin, God's waiting. You know, the only thing that needs to happen is for you to make a move. And God is so rich in mercy and forgiveness and love. And that's why I love being a priest and reconciling people to God. Do you know that St. Paul of the Cross, our founder, the founder of the Passionists, not St. John of the Cross, St. Paul of the Cross, he said that he used to preach, and he was a great preacher. He used to preach these missions in order to get people to go to confession, because he figured once they're in the confessional, that's where the healing takes place. That's where the change will happen. That's where the mercy comes. That's where the wonderful grace of God flows. And I agree with them. You know, wonderful things happen in the confessional. So let's look at this. I really believe that God will do his part, which is forgiveness for all of us, and healing right where we need to be healed. But we got to do our part. And where do we need to be healed? Well, let's look at that really quickly. We need to be healed of the guilt, the shame. We need to be healed in our relationship with God, three areas: the guilt and the shame, our relationship with God, and we need to be healed of the issues that we're dealing with, whatever sin is in there. So that's what we need. I remember I was walking one time on the beach. It was Memorial Day. That's in May. And I was down visiting my mom, and I'm walking on the beach, and you know, the beach was full of people. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it was Monday, and everybody's there. And I mean, there's cigarette butts on the beach, and there's sandcastles and litters and litter and bottle and footprints and tire tracks and all this stuff. And I'm looking, I go, look at this beach. It looks terrible. It's all a mess. Well, I went home the next day. I came to run on the morning, Tuesday morning. Everybody's gone to work now, and I go down there. There's like no people. Well, the waves had come in and washed the beach totally clean. It looked like a virgin beach. And I mean, it was beautiful. No sign of any of those scars or ruts or brokenness or litter or garbage. And you know what God's mercy is like? It's like these waves that just flow over us. The anointing breaks the yoke, the Bible says. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the grace and power of our Heavenly Father that just gets in there and cleanses and heals. We've got to trust that. Remember last night I was talking about trust? One of the areas you got to trust is that God is for you, not against you. You got to trust that you are forgiven, and you got to trust that He is healing you in the issues where you need to change. And He does. You got to trust that. Even if you don't feel it, even if it doesn't seem like it, even if it seems like nothing's happening, you got to walk out of here tonight and say, I am reconciled, I'm a new creation, I'm a child of God, and I'm on the way to heaven. And God is changing these areas in my life that I need to be changed in. So as I said, if you do your part, God will certainly do His part. So what's your part? Well, certainly go to confession. But more than that, our part is this. We have to confront our issues. That's kind of a watered-down term for our sins, but let's look at that. You see, unconfronted sins and unconfronted issues will never, ever change. You can write that one down. Unconfronted issues and unconfronted sins will never, ever change. The grace of God is there for us, but if we're not willing to do our part and take responsibility for our spiritual life, nothing's going to happen.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.